Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Lipura nenge no wapumba ovatelo ko venduka here at Eagle FM. Of course, good afternoon, wherever you tuned in from, just starting straight with the humor. Well, the humor but helps, it's a coping mechanism, guys. It's a coping mechanism. It's a good conversation starter, coping mechanism. It's a whole lot of things. But, well, as long as you have people rolling and laughing, especially on Fridays, that works for me. But good afternoon, and wherever you tune in from, thank you for tuning in to Eagle FM this time of the day. As usual, this time of the day here on Eagle FM, you have your favorite duo that's with Helmut. That's Helmut and Dwight keeping company until the hour of six with one exciting topic after another. So Monday to Friday, we are, well, here at Home Run, we're just going another one. And now, you know, today's topic is a technology based, and technology is making an interesting discussion. And this is not just a general, as in all the technological wisdom, but technology with regards to its adaptation, implementation, and usage here in our Republic of Namibia. Now, one thing that I have come to learn, that it's actually one of the most true statement to be ever uttered in the history of mankind, is convenience and security don't go hand in hand. Wherever there is security, convenience goes out through the window. And today we are going to talk about technology, and technology brings about a lot of convenience. And with that convenience also brings about a lot of security implications. Now, we can't just toss aside the technology because of its security flaws as opposed to the hard physical way of doing things. We have got to learn how to adopt and use technology while adhering to all the, understanding all the security implications and how to make sure that we are using it in a wise way or adopting it in a wise way. And for that, well, try not to sound like a marketing ad, right?
Which is the complete opposite if you've ever looked at Helmut and I's consumer electronics here in front of us.
No one is looking at that. Don't make it worse.
I just had to throw that in there. Okay, so
the South Koreans would love us.
They actually would. But yeah, There's nothing we can do because ultimately their technology is accessible and right here in terms of what they call that, what's that positive brand association or brand loyalty? Yeah, that's the other term.
Oh, yeah, the brand loyalty.
The brand loyalty, this is scenario. But we are actually moving past that particular conversation for today's scenario, because what we looked at yesterday, which was obviously that, which was encompassed within that G20 feedback that Ramaphosa had to give, yeah, was actually sort of like brought together by the Huawei ICT conference that I covered, that I attended earlier this week, I think back on Wednesday or on Tuesday. And from this particular scenario, from the Huawei ICT conference, which technically involved much of the company's existing commercial partners and clients, I got to see Helmut a whole bunch of interesting things, specifically which I thought, the ICT realm probably has reached some sort of saturation.
They've had a little too much of it.
They reached a ceiling and then nothing past that. That's the saturation I'm talking about. Yeah. Meaning we've seen everything we can see
about technology.
About the ICT infrastructure and technology. But some of the interesting things that were all obviously highlighted, and this starts actually from the Southern African executive, or the executive for Southern Africa, Hannah Hanshu. I actually, interestingly, Helmut, I actually interviewed her for one of the China Corner episodes here on Eagle FM. And she was here in Windhoek at that stage, and she was at the studio at that stage. I just didn't know that she was the Southern African executive, because how the introduction went was she was actually for Huawei Namibia. And I was like, oh, okay, Huawei Namibia. I thought it was a guy, but now I say, okay, it's a lady.
So when you heard Huawei Namibia, you thought she was just responsible for Huawei Namibia, not the entire Southern African division.
Yeah, and then just on Tuesday, she's introduced for Southern Africa. I'm like, yay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So interesting things. But then the presentations obviously happened, and they were mostly done by, one was obviously by the one Namibian executive based here in Windhoek, and the other two came from South Africa.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting to look at, Helmut, was literally what Hannah explained in the opening line specifically of her sort of like welcoming remarks, that ICT plays a support role to existing, established, older industries and sectors. I'll say it again. Existing, established, older industries and sectors. Why? Because for too long, or for far too long, has the scope of communication been overlooked. Helmut, I had a conversation with someone that I know working in the public sector, specifically in the government service. And the person was adamant about, no, my personal phone is my personal phone. And I was like, oh, okay. Your personal phone is your personal, which is a very good response, because
it's a good argument to make.
Because it was based upon, our conversation was based upon how do you sort out some of your work needs, you know, in terms of communication. What do you do? Do you have to buy a communication device from your pocket and get reimbursed? How does that work? And ultimately in the media space, it's me mumbling like I'm mumbling right now. So one of the good points that he made was specifically, no, my personal phone is my personal phone. My personal airtime is my personal airtime.
Yeah.
My personal data is my personal data. That device has got nothing to do with my work. And I asked him, so you guys stick strictly to work phones and work emails and work PCs to conduct your work? He said, yeah, we maintain in that particular sphere of office work, we maintain it strictly to what is owned by the employer. Now, obviously, I've worked most of my life in private sector, Helmut, and private sector probably brings different approaches to the discussion. Okay, yes, for me as a radio journalist, I need to use my personal phone, obviously, to capture a lot of the content, specifically of developments happening across the country and in Namibia, and obviously shared with the office back here because of, you know, how quick it is to literally share and also work with, you know, the various teams that I've worked in before. And this is now obviously the latest one, being here at Eagle FM, working with the Eagle FM team. And the discussion obviously talks about how quickly can you communicate to get your work done, to be able to present, to be able to be connected, bring content and discussion and topics to not just listeners, but also to social media audiences that we also have, since we're a multimedia company, for that matter. Now, the interesting thing that permeates through both examples that exist is that you've got an ICT backbone. You've got an internet backbone, which is sort of like the foundation. There must be internet.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have internet, your internet devices cannot talk to each other.
Yeah, they won't be able to talk to each other.
Exactly. Then your internet devices then allow you to process information, details, data, and other particular sort of like, if we could call it like information sets. And it's also the means by which these information sets also get shared on infrastructure or infrastructure networks with other processing units and with other processing hubs. Now, what is important to identify here is the question that I also highlighted to you a little bit earlier in the week about, you know, the virtual storage. When you asked me, this is storage on storage, I said yes. It was the long-winded explanation that I gave about, you know, the statistics that I did on university, where I saw the friends at the time were also doing statistics, and I asked them what's different from what they're doing and what I'm doing, and they said literally, Dwight, we're using your statistics, what you've gotten for your portion, and just add another portion on top of your portion. That's our level of work for statistics for IT at that time, what they were studying. Now, at the heart of everything, we obviously have to look at the economic value that ICT infrastructure provides. I mean, here, if we just sit here in our studio, what you can see, besides the devices that we've got in front of us, we obviously also have like the mixer that's in front of you, the computer obviously that connects, allow us to connect to our internet audiences, but also literally to our physical frequency audiences out there.
Yeah. Oh, and also another studio in
another one. Yeah, and another studio also.
So they should be able to connect to communicate. Welcome to technology.
Exactly. Now, in many scenarios, people forget that when they hear the word media, they think media is just about us humans. Yes, it is about us humans, because it's us humans generating content for other humans. But there's something that allows us to transmit, to broadcast, to store, to archive, to collect, to capture, to even to write, and even be able to share what we are busy producing.
Mm.
Now, that at the heart becomes the ICT discussion. That at the heart becomes think of it as the nervous system for your economic activities. Because what has obviously proliferated over the past 20 years has been mobile connections.
Yeah.
Mobile phones and cell phones. But at the heart of it also means that there is more content that can be positioned to everyone as they are going about their day, walking about, you know, gallivanting, doing other weird things, XYZ.
Yeah.
So yeah, in a nutshell, the presentation that, what's his name, that Ramaphosa had to do at the AU Heads of State Summit in February, technically also has a anchor in this conversation.
Yeah.
The AI stakeholder engagement that we did last week has a massive anchor in this conversation, because what you see from the audios that I shared with you regarding the ICT conference, what you heard there, which is technically what you see, is literally before we jump to the AI
discussion,
there's a whole bunch of things
we
first need to sort out over here. And these obviously can be anything from medium to short term, medium to long term.
Now, you have a skills is one of them.
No, actually, we have the skills.
We have the skills.
I'll be honest with you. We actually have the skills. There was a key question right there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard from the first South African that presented, where he said financing and budgeting is always the big letdown for hardware. I mentioned this yesterday as well.
Yeah.
Financing and budgeting is the largest letdown for ICT infrastructure. Why? It's the same thing like the library discussion we had.
Library and archives, yeah.
That we had 2 years back in 2024, remember?
Yeah.
Where the lady from the National Library and Archives Directorate from the Ministry of Education at the time said, we have schools who need librarians.
Yeah.
We have schools that have libraries but no librarians.
Yeah.
We have schools that need both libraries and librarians.
Yeah.
And we have schools that converted old classrooms into libraries, meaning the infrastructure is not adequate enough for the purpose. It's the same exact issue. We are mismatching. We're technically playing.
So we have to start with the hardware.
We have to start with the hardware. We have to start with, it's think of it as building a road. We literally have to start with an infrastructure conversation.
Now, that paints in terms of finance,
yeah,
that paints a very gloomy picture if you have seen the prices of computer hardware. It's just the regular consumer electronics.
Yeah, it does.
Now, imagine the commercial ones.
Yeah, it does. What's also concerning, Helmut, is, for example, when, let's say you could build a clinic. Doesn't matter if you're a private entity or the government. You go build a clinic in a small town. Né? That clinic, depending on how many rooms there are in the facility, that clinic will need a computer in every room. Besides, except for the toilet or ablution facilities, toilet and shower, if there's toilet and shower. But that medical facility needs a computer in every room that is designated as an office or a workspace.
Yeah.
Okay, also, if there's a canteen, no. But the canteen usually has a till. So a till, which is a cash register, would also have now a computerized element to it. Mm-hmm. So that's also a computer. It's a workstation.
Yeah.
But no one so far is looking at the digital divide in terms of how do you roll out the hardware?
Look, it's a good thing you started with that hardware. I have 2 points. The first one is just how fascinating the whole discussion. I mean, how fascinating I found the whole discussion, and that's from the point of view of this is Huawei is the company itself is Huawei Technologies Limited, which has a bunch of subsidiaries because they do they deal with anything from mobile fixed signal. They do it all. They're basically holding this engagement to put themselves out there. This is a Chinese company. They are holding these engagements to put themselves out there halfway across the world because we're in Namibia.
Yeah.
Now, the first question I started thinking about was, I went back to the discussion we had with Big Ben about, the responsibility of the creative sector and the state working together to take, Namibia's culture and, using art out there.
Mm.
And I think this is the same thing that the same thing can be said about pretty much everything, including commercial activities, so which art and creativity is part of it.
Mm.
So when I'm listening to the whole Huawei discussion that you just said, and also this is around the same time. Remember that Donald Trump went to China with an army of CEOs.
And he's still there.
I'm trying to, I'm trying to draw, to understand how this picture looks like, in terms of Africa. Are African countries representing their respective SOEs in the same way that we see other countries do?
Exactly. The reason, Helmut, that I presented that question of look at your need. Which is as micro as I can go. Let's say it's a clinic.
Yeah.
A health facility. Look at your need and then look at how many people will be stationed there and what functions they will do.
Yeah.
Now, in some cases, Helmut, the discussion of how does a facility communicate with another facility in terms of the information it shares is also an aspect in terms of updating records as well. Because at the heart of some of the conversations that you would see sometimes coming from government is based upon, how much money was spent on a project, how many community members were serviced, if there was a disaster risk element, what was the response, what was the rate of response, what was the manpower, what was the money allocated or positioned close to, and what was the reach of the targeted population? In terms of how did the response reach the needy in this disaster risk scenario? Those particular questions are all data points, and all data points actually speak towards information that you still need to process, that you still need to capture.
You first have to capture it.
You still need to store it, and do you store it?
Capture, process, store, and then share.
Exactly.
And your regulation framework must cover the whole levels, all these levels, like the GDPR does.
Exactly.
And
which is data protection and cybersecurity. And where are we?
We are working on it.
Where is Namibia?
You have to understand that we have been, well, that bill have been in draft form ever since the dinosaurs roamed the earth. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back on the other side with a short interview that will be just take a couple of minutes. And that's before we will proceed with Home Run. Just do stay tuned. You are still listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight here on Eagle FM.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
And welcome back. So, just to finish up my point before we shift, before we move to the brief interview that will be coming on the other side of the point that I'm just about to make, and the technology discussion, especially in Africa, we seem to be like jumping the broom. But the two things that I figured I saw there was how a lot of foreign, how a lot of foreign companies are being represented by their respective governments in terms of, putting them out there.
Yeah.
And now this is something that I just, that just clicked this afternoon when I was going through those audios. Because I remember when the King of Belgium was here to, was here. And that's when I connected the dots that, CMB is a Belgian company that has a lot of Leopold II, history. The same way that VW has an interesting history with
the Austrian painter.
Like, oh, well, it turns out people change, people change. Now, the thing is, interesting.
It's just like the reference you just made about jumping over the broom. I was like, please don't make it a witchcraft reference.
Oh yeah, that. Look, the things are. Look, when it comes to multinational conglomerates, one thing that I see is that wherever they go, they have they have a lot of media presence, and that's because they are, to put all these events together, first of all they have their governments talking to each other, that's one, and they have a lot of money to put all these events together to put their image out there. At what level are we at putting as Africans? And I think this is because if we are going to talk about Africa Continental Free Trade Area, we must. I think it's long overdue. We start doing this with each other. What is take for example? What's the relationship between take for example? Eagle FM, Shilongo Leather, Telecom Namibia's, representation in Ghana by the Namibian government, in Tanzania or Malawi.
Yeah.
And all these three governments, they have private and public entities that has services or products that they could trade with Namibia. Mm. What is their presence in Namibia in terms of putting their respective, either SOEs or private entities out there for maximum communication, awareness, and fluid forms of trade?
It's a key thing. Remember when I said, when I highlighted just before?
We just show up in suits and then exchange greetings and goodbye.
Yeah, because before we quickly, just after your
It's the interview time.
Yeah, before we quickly get into the interview time, There's a key thing just to highlight here, Helmut. The UNCTAD, the Conference of Trade and Development, cited itself that before you can start anywhere, you have to have clear outlines for your policy priorities for three key AI leverage points: infrastructure, data, and skills. I still believe we have the skills. We are training enough ICT professionals.
Yeah.
What we need is infrastructure that helps the data. And on that point, guys, we quickly take an ad break. We come back right after this for the promised intermission that will take place with Alexander Forbes right after this break.
Do you want safer roads for people who walk and cycle? Join the National Road Safety Council in commemorating UN Global Road Safety Week from 8 to 16 May. You can do your part by driving, cycling, and walking responsibly. To play an even bigger role, follow the NRSC on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok to learn more and help make Namibia's roads safer for all. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
And coming back, dear listeners, and promised, we have the interesting interview coming up right now with Madam Thandi Kakungwa from Alexander Forbes. She is the portfolio manager for the Alexander Forbes multi-manager. And before I actually start with our discussion, just to welcome her and giving her a greeting, Thandi, thank you for joining us here on Eagle FM, and thank you once again and welcome basically for the first interview that you've had here with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
And just jumping directly into our discussion, Thandi, the first particular discussion obviously that we were looking at is the multi-management, the reason that you're here. Can you help us, for myself and the listeners, just to help us understand, what is the multi-management?
So multi-management is an investment concept where instead of relying on just one particular investment manager, you spread your money across several different asset managers. So each manager will have their own unique style, their own, you know, strength. And what you will then get as the investor is a mix of skills and styles working together to create a more balanced portfolio for you.
And if we have to look at this particular exercise, in terms of how would the multi-management be applied practically in the scenario that you just described for us?
Okay, in practice, a multi-manager company chooses different fund managers or different asset managers and combines them, as I said, into one portfolio. So for example, Alex Forbes is not an asset manager, but we are a multi-manager. Mm-hmm. And as a multi-manager, we then appoint different underlying asset managers and then we blend them into one portfolio. So as an investor, you won't have to pick the investment manager for yourself. The multi-manager does that for you.
Mm-hmm. And when we look at the next particular topic that
comes out of that response you just gave us, what are the main advantages of using a multi-management strategy?
So there's a couple, but the biggest or the big advantage is diversification, because you're not placing all of your eggs in one basket. So if, you know, because you have access or exposure to a mix of different managers, if one asset manager underperforms, for example, the other managers that outperform can balance out that equation. And through diversification, as the investor, you are then able to spread your investment risk in that way. So you're spreading your risk across a mix of different asset classes, but also across a mix of different managers.
Mm-hmm.
And also through multi-management, you're not only able to spread your risk, but you're also actually generating different sources of return, for example. I said if one manager underperforms, the other asset manager will outperform. So you're generating different sources of return for your portfolio. And multi-management gives you access, you know, to specialist managers that you as an individual investor might not be able to reach or to access on your own.
Mm-hmm. And if we also have to look at our next particular talking point specifically, how do the multi-managers then typically select and evaluate underlying fund managers to ensure diversification and performance?
So we do a lot of research. We do a lot of research, and we also continuously perform what we call due diligence on the different underlying managers. But before we appoint them, we look at the manager's track record. We look at how they've performed, historical performance. We look at their investment style, and we also look at their risk management or what their risk appetite is, for example, and how they've performed, you know, over the years. How they've performed also in different market conditions. And then what we do is we appoint and combine the best or the top tier managers who then complement each other, so that the portfolio isn't too concentrated in one area, but just to ensure that we've got a good balance or a good mix within our portfolios.
And also getting on to another interesting scenario, why is multi-management a suitable option for investors?
First of all, it's cheaper. Contrary to popular belief, it is actually cheaper. And multi-management also just makes investing easier and also safer. Safer in the sense that I mentioned, you know, the risk that you're spreading across the different managers. And then also you get professional oversight. You have built-in diversification. And also as a multi-manager, we are able to negotiate more competitive fees for an investor because of the relationship that we do have with the different underlying managers. And also just peace of mind, I think, just knowing that there's a team of experts working together in the background on your behalf as an investor.
100%, 100%. And Tandi, before we just also end our discussion, just to highlight, if there's still something you wanted to add that I might not have asked, you can still do so before we say good afternoon to the listeners.
Maybe just, you know, just to highlight again, I know multi-management is a bit of a new concept for a lot of investors, and a lot of investors tend to shy away from it. But we spoke about the advantages, you know, of, again, not placing all of your eggs in one basket. If there's anything that I think the listener can take away, is the biggest advantage is you're not placing all of your eggs in one basket. You're spreading your risk. And through multi-management, you're able to generate different sources of return. So always remember, when there's one manager that performs poorly, you can always rely on the good performance of the other managers that you're also exposed to.
100%, 100%. And on that note, Tandi, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk to us and our listeners here at Eagle FM. And obviously, it was an interesting, a new interesting concept that you introduced here with us. And on that note, thank you once again for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you very much.
100%. Thank you very much and good afternoon.
Bye.
And dear listeners, that brings us to the end of the Alexander Forbes discussion regarding multi-management. And this obviously, as Madam Tandi Kaukungwa highlighted, the importance in terms of this particular service with Alexander Forbes. We'll be back with the home run right after the ad break. Stay tuned here on your number one talk radio station. This is Eagle FM.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now we are back to Home Run. So we continue. Now, where was I? What pains me is I really want to find out if what other countries are doing in terms of representing their private companies in their countries or SOEs, that it's also being done internally. You know, it can be done with other African, I mean, with other countries, but, you know, just as we work towards, you know, the discussion we had where we frequently referenced Bekele Thomas, which he pointed out that we have we have the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. It's well set up in theory. The practical, on the other hand, is facing a lot of hurdles because the physical infrastructure itself is not in line with the idea. Yeah, you have roads that are just moving from from an extractive facility to a shipping facility.
Yeah,
and everyone in the country is going, so how is this FCFTA supposed to work again? Because it's not in line, especially it's not including people.
Yeah.
No, that's the part where I just, that's the part that, I kept going back to. But bringing back to the discussion of technology, adopting technology at this time, that will require a lot of investment, especially when it comes to hardware. Because, and this is in part thanks to the AI boom. The price of RAM.
But
RAM is the next gold.
Okay, it is the next gold.
So we have to invest in it.
But
here, and we have to buy a lot of it for us to bring about the technological, discussion. And I think it was in 2024. Yeah, in 2024, Telecom Namibia announced a 5-year contract extension with Huawei.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, I like the fact that we are sticking to a friend to all and an enemy to none.
Even though, no, it's not a friend to all. But we've been a friend specifically to that company. Do you know why? There was a specific time when there was a migration period, and this is like 2010 back. I mean, way back. But you wouldn't have observed it with you trying to call or use your phone back then, because the proliferation of smartphones wasn't as
early stage.
It was either you had an iPhone or you were the rest of the guys.
It's either you were team iPhone or you were team
everyone else.
DSTV so much more.
So at that stage there was a migration happening. But it's a migration you didn't see. And since we're on the topic of specifically like Telecom at that stage, 2010, 2011-ish, they were busy migrating from one
sort of like hardware service provider, literally into Huawei scenario.
I only found those guys. It says when I came about the when I came to the awareness of technology, basically the technology around me, and who not the use of it, but who is manufacturing it. The first thing as far as I remember, I just remember seeing the ZTE dongles, and last time I checked, that's Huawei Technologies.
ZTE is a completely different company from Huawei. ZTE is bigger than Huawei.
It's a Chinese company.
Yeah, but ZTE,
not Huawei.
Yeah, so ZTE is bigger than Huawei.
Now about the size, I thought Huawei was the like the boss, like the same way that Samsung is in South Korea.
ZTE is the boss.
ZTE is the boss.
ZTE is also the older brother over Huawei. I'm sorry, Huawei, if you're listening. I know. Because, remember, ZTE was one of the first companies targeted under Barack Obama for the so-called espionage of Chinese companies on Western countries.
Yeah.
ZTE, and it started all in Australia. ZTE had a major ICT infrastructure contract with the Australian government.
Yeah.
And then one Australian minister / member of parliament started throwing toys around, started making this a whole geopolitical situation.
Yeah.
And at that stage, it was once again as Barack Obama and the Americans were busy negotiating with Iran for the JCPOA.
Yeah.
Remember the JCPOA?
Yeah.
At the heart of that discussion was also, remember what I also referenced a little bit earlier in this year, is that there's two South African companies who are stuck in Iran. They can't get their money out of Iran. It's Standard Bank International and MTN. And at the heart of the JCPOA's negotiations was, allow us to see what you are cooking there with your uranium.
Mm-hmm.
And we will allow countries who have trade relations with you to still trade without any interference.
Any restrictions.
Exactly. And global, and sort of like global stresses. And then what happened literally in 2016? Donald Trump comes through. And all that gets thrown out of the window with the baby and the washing water and the cat. And now people are finding themselves trying to get the investments out of Iran. It looks bad. Investments of Iran is frozen in international asset markets. It's the same thing that happened to the Russians. Remember, with 2022, the same situation. It's just with Iran. Iran just had the oil to sell and the gas to sell, and Iran had to wait for other things there in the world to pay it its money from its products, and that's the money being held there. And under Barack Obama, they would have signed that treaty that also allowed Iran to access credit facilities as a country, to invite investors, and also to allow investments to take place in its country under the JCPOA. So it was an actual, 360-degree treaty. And Donald Trump threw that thing out of the window. Yeah. Okay, there's your context.
Yeah. Now, the question I was headed to was before, for those of us that woke up and found Telecom Namibia using ZTE.
Yeah.
What was what type of technology were they running on before they went to, full ZTE? Especially in terms of dongles.
I can't ask because the person I know had to sign a non-disclosure agreement. So that's why I can only tell you that Telecom Namibia's relationship specifically with Huawei is more than 10 years old specifically, because it's literally in the systems, the data center.
Yeah.
That's there. And the system was based upon, at that stage, they had to fly in a whole bunch of Huawei technicians from Turkey. That's how I also knew, literally help with, aligning the old particular data set system with
of an upgrade.
It's not an upgrade. It's more like you've got to let the older infrastructure speak to the newer infrastructure. Now, in technology terms, you would have heard this in gaming. They call it backwards compatibility, or just overall compatibility
between
each other, meaning Is there a type C charging cable that could, data cable that connects between that port and this port from that server to this?
And when you said compatibility, I didn't think you were going that basic.
No, but it is literally that scenario.
So you're just going to, like, you know what, this cable is like, Namibia waking up, one day and deciding, you know what, we have to change our, our electrical, appliances. We are not getting, we are not using the Germans anymore. We have to get or South Africans or Chinese or Indian or Arabs. We're just going straight to the Americans. Now we have to adopt all their outlets. So you'll have to get rid of all the outlets we have and replace them with the pointy ones that I always see, like, okay, what the heck is that? Mm. Now, so you're basically, you're upgrading the hardware first to make sure that literal cables can get into the ports available.
Yeah. Because there will come scenarios, Helmut, specifically where you'll have a client that used your infrastructure or your service like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Literally 10 years ago. And according and based upon what your finance department and your auditors allow, you're supposed to like hold physical files for like maximum 12 months after the financial year ended. So your financial year, let's say, is here, 31 December 2025, mm-hmm. and you can only hold the files physically on site in your mm-hmm. company from 1 January 2026 to 31 December 2026. You can only hold the files on site for so long. And then the files have to be moved to a store. But before it gets moved to a store, it's also fed into your digital infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Because now... companies have taken up their responsibility with archiving and record keeping.
Yeah.
Keep both formats. Yes, there will be a fire that'll attack the archive, the physical archive center.
Mm-hmm.
But the scenario is also the paper ages. Rats also attack the paper
mm-hmm.
because once the moment the rodents get into a facility, it's you and nature, the facility manager. But at the heart of it all is also there's something known as digital file degradation. I have literally seen digital file degradation. Helmut, I don't know what it is. I've tried asking the graphic designers that I worked with. So what happens is, have you ever seen a newspaper where some of the advertising looks like it was bleached? The advert looks like someone put a film
on top of it.
And it looks bleached.
Yeah, like it was soaked into something.
Yeah. Have you ever seen something like that? That is digital file degradation that I don't know how it happens. But what I do know what happens is... the one graphic designer explained it to me, because since I worked in newspaper, was literally, it is how many times you use the file. So in many scenarios, people would go like, okay, if you have this same file, this same particular image, you can just continue using it every time on your digital platforms continuously.
Mm-hmm.
But at the heart of it, you don't realize there's a degradation of the
that's taking place of every the original time that you file. Copy.
Yeah. You copy, resave, copy, resave, copy, resave. And the one guy explained to me, actually, he and I, we both reached a like a aha moment, you know, literally a light bulb moment between us. I asked him, because he was the designer at the stage. I asked him, listen, dude, isn't this because we're not using or working on the original file, but you guys are actually working and utilizing copies of the original file? And he said, well, Dwight, it's an interesting point that you're making there, but the thing is also you have to go find where the original file was saved on, which date. Because if this file was moved into multiple archive folders across the years, and this specifically happened with an advert for one specific client. This client had the same ad, Helmut, for like 10 years.
How good was that advert?
Yeah, he was making his money. Why was I complaining? I didn't complain. But I asked the designer, because obviously when you give a solution to a customer, you ask the person, the technical person you work with that has to provide you with the solution to the customer, you know, can't we just redesign something from scratch?
Yeah.
And then the designer was like, well, you don't really have to if you know, if you, the media house, you originally designed the thing, meaning you sit with the whole original file and template and all that other stuff. Now, in between, Adobe also brings out updates to its products, because as a media house, what we were trained on, you use the Adobe software suite. So that's InDesign, Photoshop, Illustrator, and there's another one that you that is essential for a print media house. It's InDesign, Illustrator, Photoshop, and there's a fourth one. But anyway, the key thing from this is you need to be able to still hold on to the original. There's things like templates. There's things like alphabet fonts, font types. Mm. There's also certain kinds of shaders, color shaders that you bring in. And also under what particular sort of like, there's a weird thing that also comes up with these ICT guys, file extensions. You know, like you've got MP3 that also now went to MP4.
Yeah.
But MP3 is just about how good you compress the data into this file format. MP4 obviously allows you to now be able to share a video with all its other data elements in it. MP4 is just the next level from MP3. MP3's main aim was about maintaining audio. What was that thing's name? Audio integrity. You know,
integrity, like audio quality?
Yeah, the audio quality, yeah. But I had to use integrity for the same thing that I'm explaining about the file degradation, digital file degradation that takes place. So at the heart of things, it was wonderful to see these technologies happen, but you could also see the dependence upon digital infrastructure that you needed.
Yeah.
Now, what I just explained to you was also being in the heart of the beast, specifically in the belly of the beast, specifically of manufacturing in a way. But when you now extend this into what you need for Namibia, what you literally need for Namibia, you also get to understand that we sit with a bit of a centralization curse once again. Okay, besides Walvis Bay and Swakop, they enjoy being literally where the two cables are landed. The Wax cable and the Equinox cable.
And that guy is very prominent in African history.
Who?
Aquinas. Now,
is his name after a guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Another European?
No. I checked, he's black.
He was in Europe.
Believe me.
He was in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
So he's European, Helmut. Was he born here or was he shipped from here? If he was shipped from here...
What do you mean shipped? Okay, you're right. There's a lot of shipping taking place.
Was he shipped from here? Look, I know it's a bad joke to make, but unfortunately, back then, you know, Africans were cargo. We weren't passengers. Don't worry, guys.
Not passengers. I didn't actually understand just how terrible that was until I looked at how long it takes a cargo ship to move from one destination to another. That's when it's just going to. That's going to be, look, it's going to hurt your feelings.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And one thing that will make you look at, read history differently is, read history differently is property law.
Yeah.
Once you understand that at some point, a human being was considered property, and then you look at what the laws allow the user of the property to do with it.
Do you know what's one of the most heartbreaking things? In Namibia,
very heartbreaking, yeah.
About around property law, but you see it has tentacles in marriage law.
Yeah.
Up until the 1990s, did you know that a husband could show up at his wife's work and demand her salary?
Come again?
Did you know that?
No.
A husband could walk to his wife's work and demand her salary.
Why?
That is part of the property law umbrella. Or tentacle, if you have to think about it like a, you know, like a Resident Evil scenario, you know. The weird thing, Helmut, obviously, is that we also have to look at what kind of a modern society Namibia wants to achieve. Because the laws also have to be updated. It brings us obviously back not just to data, to the data protection and the cybersecurity, but it also brings us to the scenario of understanding how the world, the physical world, also needs to interact with this digital world. What can be considered property? Now, we've had the intellectual property conversation multiple times, even in this week, but before we continue, we've got an ad break.
You know, there's something about opening a Tafel Lager that brings people together.
Yeah, and once people come together, the voices follow.
Ideas get shared, laughs get louder.
New perspectives come up where you least expect them.
Because when people use their voice, conversations start.
And those conversations, they can refresh a moment and even shape what happens next.
So, grab a Tafel Lager and start the conversation. Tafel Lager, now we're talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Welcome back. It's 5 o'clock on the dot. So now, well, we continue. Is it the hardware?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's not just hardware. Okay, yeah, sorry, Hamid. The actual point just before the break was about, I started from intellectual property that we've covered many times.
Just ruined the whole thing.
We've done the digital, we've done the data protection, we've done the AI, we've done the cybersecurity, we've done the threats of, you know, of cyber attacks on a country like Namibia that's still trying to sort out its own, but, you know, it's sort of like growth pains. And all of these things actually have to work into the same setting. But at the heart of it, there's also a scenario of understanding which laws do we already have in place, that the laws that are that already exist. So a scenario obviously pops up, for example, like you would now find in Australia and in the UK, where in the UK you get policed for, if you say, Helmut, I don't like your hairstyle, then the UK police shows up because they were monitoring all traffic of social media in the UK on the UK internet infrastructure. Now, that obviously also speaks towards what is perceived as public domain, what is perceived as a private chat, what is perceived as a comment in passing, like what judges love sometimes to highlight, or as a joke, which they also say is jest, as a jest. Because at the heart of things, when you look at that scenario, I just explained like what happened in the UK before, and this has happened now multiple times so far. I even watched a video earlier today of how UK London police are actually now literally patrolling and regulating, or policing rather, e-bikes and e-scooters. Not this thing that I have, which is a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. They call it a moped. But literally, that thing that you stand on, that has an electronic motor on the hind wheel,
yeah,
and it just pushes you forward. You've got your controls here,
yeah,
on the handlebar, because that was based upon a proliferation of petty crimes happening in London.
Using
those things and e-bicycles and scooters, they would use the scenario of. The gig economy.
Mm.
So they would supposedly be delivering something, but in the delivery box is either one of the class A narcotics drugs, or it would be stolen items like cell phones. Remember that thing you told us last year about in our discussion about
how the secondhand market, the secondhand cell phones is being fed by phones grabbed and refurbished. Yeah.
In 2024, the UK recorded something like 60,000 events of phone. Smartphones that were grabbed. 60,000 for London.
Only
for London. 60,000 phones or 60,000 incidences, which is technically 60,000 phones that were grabbed by guys on mopeds, on e-scooters, and on electric bicycles. The person is walking with their phone in their hand. The person comes by on that thing, grabs it, makes a run for it. 60,000 is heavy.
Jeez.
So far, from that 60,000 head from 2024 heading into 2025, they only targeted, they could only stop, you know, the prevention rate was at 17% that the London police so far has combated, meaning the rate of 17% versus 60,000 is, you know, 6,000 something, but the 60,000 was still overwhelming. So the concern from that obviously was, how do you see things manifest in a real life scenario? So the infrastructure I also mentioned earlier, like for example, when you build a new clinic, how many computers do you need in the clinic and what's the cabling? And then electricity source, once again.
Energy.
Energy. Center. Would you still require filing cabinets? Those questions would still be asked. Because in many scenarios, when you have to walk into a brand new shop, Helmut, let's say they renovated a brand new shop somewhere at a shopping center.
Yeah.
I dare you, always walk into that shop, Helmut, and look at the layout of the shop. Don't care about what's on the shelves. That's for the regular sheep, meaning the regular consumer. Go and look at the aesthetics of the shop. Look at the layout. Look at how you get channeled through every section of the shop itself. And then look at how easy you get past buying or paying for your thing and then getting out. Always go and look at that.
So one thing I've come to learn, especially with the, you know, especially with the, with the, with the retail store, is that there's a male section of where you'd buy, find all the male clothes, and you'll find the, you know.
Which retail shop is that, Helmut?
What?
Which retail shop is that?
Like, most of the shops I get into that sell clothes.
Oh, where they split it, when it's the unisex shops.
Women and, men and women on, men on one side, women on one side.
Yeah.
So that you're not bumping into each other, obviously. And there are shops that are, that sell predominantly female clothes. And I remember, I think that was in 2016, My sister sent me to, I was going to town. She didn't want to go. So she, while I was in town, she called me to pick for her handbag.
Mm.
So she mentions a specific shop. This is in Grootfontein.
Mm.
So I go on my GPS. I find this shop and then I get in there. And only when I was in, I looked around. That's when I realized I was the only guy minus one guy who was the teller. I was the only guy in there. Turned around, looked around. I was like, uh-oh. Right.
Feels awkward.
This is gonna be awkward. So I go straight to the counter and ask them. So where can I find a handbag? Because the last thing I want at this point is walk around. Just get that handbag and go. I was like, don't worry, still straight here. But anyway,
did you get the right handbag, Helmut?
No, I didn't. No, look. Don't send it. Look, should have seen her face. it was that day when I started telling females, any female that sent me to go and buy something, whether it's food or any of the female products, send me pictures. Don't give me names. Just send me pictures. Let's save each other, World War III. But look.
How much you're hopeless.
I've been told when it comes to those things. Now, look. Coming back from that detour back into technology, the three things that you pointed out that that's coming from the, that's also emphasized by the UN website on the discussion of technology is you need, first of all, infrastructure. That's no question around that. Skills, that's no question around that. And already pointed out that, skills, we have them, we have the skills. And if you have seen, actually that's true, because if you look at the prospectus of any, or brochure of any of the high institutions, you'll always find IT this, IT that, IT this, IT. So from the look of things, tech skills are being dispensed at a very fast rate.
Yeah, they are.
The quality, that one, it may be debatable, but I've been through a bunch of brochures and of different high institutions, and there's IT, 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 IT everywhere. So the skills are, and I think, irrespective of the quality being provided by some of what you may describe at some point as questionable quality, but quality can be upgraded.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the discussion of hardware, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, it's a completely different. I mean,
that's a whole different ball game that requires, believe me, a whole lot of one heck of a budget.
The hardware actually also, there shouldn't be hurdles, but the hurdles obviously is based upon, you know, we now have this Pan-African and national approach to things. Look, I have to mention it, Helmut, because that politicism flows into...
Thank you for bringing up the politicism description.
Many economic scenarios.
Yeah.
The economic scenarios always base itself, and I still have to find that report that I spoke about 3 years, 4 years back on the business and economic segment. The one about, does Africa still stand a chance at least leading some sort of a manufacturing renaissance from the global south perspective? It seems we're still perpetuating the same evil of allowing other people to build for us.
Look, we spent we spent decades of KMA. Now we have to build. Now,
which is true. We have spent decades of KMA.
Yeah. Now we have to build everything from the ground up. And the discussion of the EU saying, you know, okay, you know what? Enough of aid. Let's start talking about trade. And the Trump administration, I think, it's just one thing I'm really appreciating Trump on. Of saying, you know what, national security strategy. Let's reevaluate our relationship with Africa. Gone are the days of, you know what, you know, where if you're a politician or an NGO, all you just had to do was go in rural communities and then take pictures and videos of, you know, of kids that are just playing in the dirt. And then use that, to basically guilt trap a lot of developed countries' citizens into giving you money.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, playing in mud is standard in Africa. And how a lot of people just decided to link that to suffering, I don't know what that is. But, well, it really worked. Trevor Noah did a whole set on that. They make it look like even the fly is is an actor. Where they start, you know, camera, light, action. And then the fly also knows exactly what to do. Because he spent the whole time reading through the script. Now, look, the thing is, the whole let's shift from aid to manufacturing and trading, it's sort of like, caught a lot of African countries off guard. The transition process, and I'm not saying that we should have been given a transition process. We're grown ups. So we should have figured out that at some point we have to start doing things for ourselves.
Yes, and yes, and yes. And I am glad you mentioned the catching off guard scenario, because, Helmut, here's the particular concern. For a long time, there was this privilege that we enjoyed here in Namibia and South Africa, that you could pick up a landline and you could dial a South African number, and vice versa. A South African number could call you back. That privilege has now morphed into mobile phones, smartphones.
Yeah.
You can connect cellularly. You know, MTC or Telecom, the side, can connect to a South African cell phone number that side.
Mm-hmm.
You'll still be able to call the person. The person will still be able to call you back. At the heart of this, how often do you think the same privilege... I'm describing a political term right now, so I'm being political right now. How often have you seen this particular bridging the gap with the rest of Africa has taken place? Have you ever received a phone call from Angola?
No, just Nigeria. It's hard to tell whether he's talking from Nigeria. Kept claiming it was royalty. Now,
you were actually called by one of those guys.
Yeah, on WhatsApp.
Oh, okay. So that's an internet call. Yeah. So the interesting thing, obviously, from this has been, besides the WhatsApp calls, besides Skype, which is supposedly the first internet voice and video interaction communication thing, which was bought out by Microsoft, and Microsoft slowly killed it off, when then Microsoft brings you Teams for some reason and then Zoom pops up with COVID.
Look, I know, right? The whole Microsoft Teams thing.
They could have just kept Skype.
First of all, that thing, that's a terrible idea because, calling someone's daughter with WhatsApp and it was, you know, the pictures were terrible. So I called with Instagram. Now I had to call with Teams and it kept making Teams. I'm like, dude, I'm not in a team. Trying to be romantic here. But, let's have a commercial break.
Okay, my turn. Hold on. Just let me finish my story. As I was saying,
my man. You've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my chassis is getting warm.
Just give more eyes. Anyways, long story short.
Oh, hi. When you're talking, it's a short story long.
Short stories turn long. Go best together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumderewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. 17 minutes into the hour of 5. Now, let's come back to the hardware discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, we have to pick a vendor. And from the look of things, there are a lot of vendors that can provide you all kinds of hardwares. So that's out of the window. The skills, like you pointed out, we already have it. But the thing is, whatever vendor you're going to pick up, you're going to pick, they will provide you with hardwares that you still have to buy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
and who manufactures this?
The manufacturing part at this point is seeing that Africa, especially in terms of electronics, we don't manufacture any of it. As not on the electronic components.
Diddly squat, nothing, zero. You can't even write home about it.
Not just that. In the world of, especially when it comes to computer chip, that market is cordoned off by two countries.
Yeah.
Taiwan and the Netherlands. Taiwan manufactures the chips, TSMC, and the Netherlands, that's where you only find, is it HTMS, is something, it's also a whole abbreviation that sounds a bit like THMC, which manufactures the lithography machines. The machines, that machine has the most guarded technology on the planet. Because the only country that's working, that's investing, I think, in heavily in research and development and trying to create a technology similar to that, are the Chinese. I think a lot of countries have just, we just be here, and this is a multi-billion-dollar company. So first of all, not only will it be difficult, if not borderline impossible, for us to put our hands as a continent on those machines, But also, you also have to figure out the environment that, the skills of, the technological skills of manufacturing computer chips. This is something that, this is the industry that TSMC, which is why Taiwan is very, 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 very important to the tech industry.
Mm.
Yeah. So, you'll have to figure out, how to use those machines. And these are very, very, very sensitive machines. Because you are, picture it like 3D printing. But you are 3D printing something that is microscopic on a whole another level.
It's the same example, Helmut, that we also, or the same point that we made under our affordable housing or alternative building materials conversations that we had in 2025. I mean, there's a South African company known as Hydroform. Depends on the font type that they use for their letters, their corporate identity.
Yeah.
So this company, Helmut, technically, instead of you using cement when you do bricklaying, mm-hmm. instead of you using cement, it's also like an interlocking brick in a way. It's just put up and then the bricks just literally lock into each other. And if the structure is complete, from what I've seen from their particular presentations on their website, for example, because at one stage I love looking at what
alternative building materials
companies are, what solutions companies are bringing to a conversation. And then I sat there thinking to myself, do you know how quickly we could have solved the 300,000 housing backlog discussion in Namibia? I know it would have sounded like a monopoly, but if they allowed various kinds of alternative building materials
mm-hmm.
to be present in the Namibian, in the Namibian property market.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing, Hamoud. If you speak to real estate agents, to construction contractors, and obviously the engineers that also work with these guys, you get one answer.
Which is?
Or actually, it's one answer with two. Let's call them two headaches. The first headache is the local authorities. The second headache is banks in Namibia.
Okay, I understand the banking part, but you still have to elaborate on that. But local authorities.
The local authorities. Remember that thing that you and Gabriel mentioned to me last year about, not last year, the year before, 2024, when we had the property discussion, and we obviously also looked at the presidential election scenario back then.
Mm-hmm.
At the heart of that conversation was a point where I asked you guys, show me the proof where I have to build with brick and mortar.
It's a standard requirement in terms of legislation. Yeah.
And then both of you said there is legislation somewhere. Now, I literally had to go find this legislation. I had to go find it. And I found it specifically, like in the city of Windhoek's case, I found it under, what was the thing's name? Toch? It took me from one thing to another thing to another thing. It was a new law to an old law to a new law. But it's found literally in not construction, but it helped me understand, yes, I was on City of Windhoek's website and I went and looked at council resolutions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a resolution part where they made reference to some sort of a construction situation. And then I went in that resolution and then I went into what is called bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
Where I discovered that City of Windhoek still uses the imperial measurement system.
The inches.
Yeah, the inches, feet, pounds, description in its literal measurements and formulas for approved structures in the locality of the municipality. Where I obviously found pounds per square feet illustrations, and I was like, wat so goed is die? What is a pound per square foot? What is a pound even? We all know what a kilogram is,
mm-hmm.
but what is a pound? So that was obviously where I discovered this. And it actually, you could see how old the piece of legislation was, which technically is a hindrance. Technically, it's a trade barrier. It's literally a trade barrier to industry or sectoral development. Now, let's ask that particular question, Hamoud. Let's apply that thinking of
alternative business solutions, business methods, commercial activities, alternative commercial activities and such to a setting across the ICT sector? Ask that question. Ask that question in terms of why must you import a Cisco computer switch or a Cisco server? Do you know that the guys that I studied with at NUST back then when it was still Polytechnic, mm-hmm. there was a guy, there was certifications you got, Helmut, for your 3-year diploma in IT at Polytechnic. And somewhere you had to specialize. Now, the certification is known as a network administrator. Think of them as a glorified WhatsApp
admin.
Think of them in that sense.
Seriously.
But they're not actually a WhatsApp admin. I'm sorry, IT guys, if you're out there listening and you're going like I'm going to find Dwight Five, at 6 a.m. you're outside Eagle FM's offices. It's not actually what I meant, but that's the easiest description I could give. So a network administrator obviously has to look at the integrity and manage the integrity of the network system within a company or organization. Mm-hmm. And it would include the servers. It would include the server room. It would include, there's this device they call a switch, but it looks like a big, it's that thing right next to you. Just check there. You see that flat box?
Yeah.
It looks that. That's the switch. So now imagine one of those things cost $1 million. Imagine one of those things cost $1 million in some organizations, depending on how big your job is.
Uh-huh.
Some of them cost $1 million. And what it helps is...
Not the whole infrastructure, just the device.
There's that one device. Some of them cost you $1 million.
Okay.
Some of them probably would cost you a little bit more, depending on the role that the device has to play. And all of it is...
So that's dependent on the size.
Exactly. And also about the kind of organization you are and how much data information moves through the device constantly. If you're banking, we're talking about you need a supercomputer.
Yeah.
Because banking activities take place in a split second. Not even a split second.
So
smaller than a split
second. You need to be working as fast as possible.
Or you need to be observing...
Also looking at processing ability.
Exactly. And you also need... Or you probably need to be looking at monitoring ability that's just as quick as the activity. Because... Uh-huh. Remember, Bank of Namibia has to monitor payment transactions and movements of money. And if everyone knows about the it sounds like a horror story, but it's the time when what's the thing's name? The Wall Street supercomputers glitched. They call it a glitch. It was something like a split second. The network administrators didn't even realize the thing skipped a split second. But it's literally when a hack happened.
In a split second.
It was so quick, they could only pick it up like at the end of the week. When you do tallies of the trades, you know that you've got to do, they've got to generate reports about how much trading was done on a day, per sector, per industry, per market situation.
Mm-hmm.
The fear that obviously came from that was how much money disappeared. Now, okay, this was a little bit recent. I have to look for the one that happened like more than 10 years ago. It was so quick, Helmut. They only realized that probably it was more than $1 billion of US dollars
in
worth. In that split second. Think of it as a electricity spark, but money disappears in that spark. When that spark happens, money disappears with it. So that's the level of processing you need. Now, a supercomputer is a whole bunch of servers together. Okay, servers is a bit... Me and servers, I need to stop with the server description. A supercomputer is literally a massive piece of installation that has to help multiple entities access it. And it's like a mainframe. I mean, I'm even using old terminology, mainframes, terminals, and the likes of that. So these kinds of activities, which involves a lot of external and internal actors and stakeholders who have to interact with the thing, they obviously realize that, you know, obviously there's money at play. Secondly, there's potentially a lot of credibility in the institution or the activity that they're participating in. That's also at stake here. And at the heart of it all, it's a question also of how to, you know, to still maintain the trust element of a financial sector. Now, moving away from, for example, like that hack.
You know, there's something about opening a Tafel Lager that brings people together.
Yeah, and once people come together, the voices follow.
Ideas get shared. Laughs get louder.
New perspectives come up where you least expect them.
Because when people use their voice, conversations start.
And those conversations, they can refresh a moment and even shape what happens next.
So, grab a Tafel Lager and start the conversation. Tafel Lager. Now we're talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back from that very sneaky commercial break, but we continue with the discussion. So the millions of dollars went missing in a split second. That points to the security implications that is coming with the convenience of technological adaptation. And now, the was that last year or the year before last when we were talking about just the cyber threats that a lot of, basically both public and private entities in Namibia face per day?
Yeah.
And they were all in their thousands.
Yes. And sometimes you don't even know that you're under threat.
So being paranoid is a good idea.
Yeah.
In other words, watch out all the time.
Yeah.
Now, 28 before the hour of 6, before we continue with this discussion, let's take a live read. Vilvicha University 2026 July applications are now open. Faculty of Health Sciences, a postgraduate diploma in community health nursing level 8. Admission requirements. Have a recognized nursing qualification at NQF level 7 or higher from any recognized higher learning institution. Must be a registered nurse / midwife with a nursing, with the Nursing Council of Namibia HPCNA. Must have a minimum of 2 years working experience as a nurse / midwife in any health facility. Must write a short essay describing the motivation for pursuing postgraduate diploma in community health nursing. Qualification duration, 1 year. Mode of delivery, full-time. For more information, please call 081-403-6406. Vilvicha University, where everyone is an achiever.
I found the hack.
The one that costed $1 million after, you know,
No, it wasn't $1 million.
$1 billion.
It wasn't $1 billion.
How much?
It's known as the 2010 flash crash of Wall Street. In 6 May 2010 flash crash, which is also known as the crash of 2:45 a.m., or simply the flash crash, was a United States trillion-dollar flash crash.
Trillion.
Which started at 2:32 p.m. Sorry, oh, not a.m., 2:32 p.m., the afternoon, like lunchtime. And it lasted for 36 minutes.
That's a lot of time in the digital world.
The explanation that was given then was the regulatory agencies of the U.S., announced investigations into the crash, but no specific reason for the 600-point plunge was identified. Now, the 600 points obviously means what happened to the stocks in that 36 minutes.
So it took a nosedive.
It took a severe nosedive. Because in many scenarios, the Americans, they treasure the stock exchange very much. Now, they noted that the investigators focused on a number of possible causes, including a confluence of computer automated trades, which is the that's why AI is nothing new. There was a whole bunch of automated trades.
Like features.
Yeah, trades taking place, or possibly an error by a human trader. But the first weekend, the regulators had discounted the possibility of a trader error and focused on automated trades conducted on exchanges other than the New York Stock Exchange. However, the CME Group, which is one of the large futures exchanges, stated that insofar as stock index futures traded on CME Group were concerned, its investigation found no evidence for the automated traders or automated trading platforms malfunctioning. It also noted in its investigation, its investigation found no evidence for this or that high-frequency trading played a role, and in fact concluded that the automated trading had contributed to market stability during the period of the crash. Others speculated that an intermarket sweep order may have played a role in triggering the crash. But there's only seven theories. There are only theories put forward. A fat finger theory.
There's one point that was made in that discussion about one of the services they do provide, and the gentleman that was doing the presentation mentioned something like we also do, is it a ransomware? They also provide like ransomware services, not to help you, hack someone's system and then claim, hold their information hostage in exchange of money.
Yeah.
They offer services that prevents individuals from finding themselves in situations like that.
Mm.
Now, with that in mind, that in itself have got to paint a very interesting and also scary picture of the world that we are getting into in terms of technology. Because we are putting technology into anything because of how easy it is, fast and precise it is in terms of executing different, all kinds of activities that, at a pace that we can't, we cannot as humans.
Yeah.
So, that means we have technology into energy, technology into health, technology into agriculture, technology, into pretty much everything around us. So that also raises the risks of us going facing, security threats.
Mm.
Now, so that means if that brings about, serious maintenance discussions. So the whole idea of, we're an SOE, we don't have to put much emphasis on making sure that our systems are up to standard. You are going to, you're going to have a whole city that will spend the whole week without water because someone will hack the system and told them, we'll only give you back the access after you pay us this amount of money.
Yep. Which is also a concern. Yes, firewalls obviously are the new thing. For people, like I recently spoke to a lady, a small enterprise, and she said she hates the emails that you described in the WhatsApp phone call that you had with a guy called claiming to be a prince.
Mm-hmm.
She has
with a lot of money.
She has had to interact with many people claiming to be royalty from some West African situation here on the continent, and she said she doesn't know how many times she has to delete these emails. But I just told her basically, listen, if you know someone in your family that has an IT background or works in IT, mm-hmm. just ask them for a firewall, or if you use the Google services for your email hosting as a company, as a small enterprise, there's a way that Google can enable, they have that firewall protection for an email server. It's not just a firewall for your website. You also need a firewall for your email server. And if people are going to ask me what's a firewall, think of it literally as the
a wall that's on fire.
No, it's not a wall that's on fire. It's literally the mechanism that was supposed to keep the Etosha safe last year from the bushfire that happened right next to Etosha last year. So Etosha has these,
like literal fire.
Remember when half of the park last year was on fire?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and the claim was that it's a charcoal manufacturing farm right next to the park
mm-hmm.
that is at fault. Now, what one of the claims were was that the technically the government authorities, which is the National Park Authorities, they didn't maintain the fire roads. So a fire road is this abnormally broad gravel road, which prevents
fire from crossing over
from one side to the other side.
Yeah.
So even if there's a wind, the fire can't come across. Yes, sparks and some incendiary pieces of grass or stuff like that, but it'll be small patches that you can manage, you can respond to. But that this particular, that was one of the claims, that this particular mechanism, which is a physical installation, was not there. Now, that is a firewall. It's a protection. It's a natural protection. Man, even better. Let me just make it simplified for you. Think of it as condoms. Last line of defense.
You would have started with that.
Think of it as condoms. Last line of defense. That's it. I know. Get the image out of our head.
Using a condom makes you a politician. You're just lying to people. You are going for a tour, and then they find out they've been hijacked. They're like, they're all going, what the heck?
What?
Nothing.
What are you talking about, Helmut? Okay, I won't ask. But still, what are we talking about?
Don't ask. Let's go back to firewall, because my next explanation will get us fired. Now, the roads that are supposed to be, and I've seen this with farms, and I've seen this with farms, and basically, all the facilities like the wildlife areas. What they do is, there's a fence that will be in the middle, and you have roads, like a tractor-wide roads on both sides of the fence.
Mm.
Yeah. And they are constantly maintained. They are always either being driven into, and if there's a part that's not being driven into, especially when we are nearing this time, they will constantly clean it to make sure that if a fire catches on one side, it doesn't cross as easily.
Mm.
So one of the reasons why that, inferno almost consumed the whole national park is because we failed to maintain a literal fire road.
Mm.
Now, first of all, I'm no IT expert, but I know that installing all this type or, all the tech infrastructure requires a lot of, fire suppression systems in place. And I've seen this, it's one of those things that I admire every time that I walk in a public, in a public building, or more like, the buildings that are open to the public. And, a mall is one excellent example.
Mm.
Because, you have fire hydrants on one side. And you have all these, sprinklers, this one, the side of Hilton Hotel has this whole amazing fire suppression system in place. Now, you have to maintain all those, and you have fire hydrants, you have fire extinguishers.
Yeah.
And these are required at all places, especially, you see this at hospitals, you see this at schools.
Yeah.
Whether or not they work is a whole different question.
At schools?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember now.
Yeah.
My schools did have something like that.
Yeah. Because we used one of them to make ourselves ghosts. But the thing is, it's white, man. It worked.
Helmut. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah.
You gotta love high school. But look,
yeah, we were all dumb.
Really dumb.
We were doing a lot of dumb things, but yeah.
Yeah, so that means not only do we have to buy the physical hardware, because we don't produce a lot of the digital, the digital things,
yeah.
Because I don't, digital hardware, that would be very, contradictory. Not only do we also have to buy the hardware, and we also have to buy, most likely have to buy the software.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to maintain it. And one thing is, the softwares and the hardwares over a period of time, we need basically constant maintenance.
Of course, you need to patch, repatch.
And then,
haven't you seen what happens to specifically the computer gamers?
Look, I know that because now I'm equating it to what's happening in the smartphone market and basically laptop and all the mobile device market.
Yeah,
it's a good example. The more you upgrade, the more you realize that the software is now too big to to run on the available hardware. So you have to upgrade the hardware.
Mm. And the, if you sometimes...
That's a lot of money.
If you sometimes look at, like, the gaming...
Okay, my turn. Hold on. Just let me finish my story. As I was saying, I was...
My man, you've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my chassis is getting warm.
Just give more eyes. Anyways, long story short.
Oh, hi. When you're talking, it's a short story long.
Short stories turn long. Go best together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back. So 14 minutes to the hour of 6. So moving on. Wait, you were saying?
No, I was just highlighting specifically like
I go full Malaysia.
After you ended with these indication, obviously of fire hydrants and the likes.
The money that costs not just to buy the hardware, the software, but also to maintain it, and you have to know that you'll have to upgrade it.
And regularly served. I did not know fire hydrants needed servicing, specifically the fire extinguishers. The ones that you guys were playing with.
Yeah.
That's just the extinguisher. Mm-hmm. I did not know that the extinguishers need to be regularly replaced.
Checked. Yeah, they have to be replaced.
Because the chemical formula apparently expires. The chemical formula expires. I did not know this. You just take for granted, the thing is there.
It works.
That's the safety.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, that's the safety for us, the safety mechanism. Now you obviously need this overall if you go and look at, health and safety aspects for companies or just structures like buildings and the likes. You go look at the economics at play.
Yeah.
Because you need access, stairwell if it's a multi-story building. They have to take into consideration that there are going to be humans interacting with this structure, with this building. So you need, what's that thing? The exits? Yeah, the stairwell?
Like fire escape.
The fire escape, which is technically the fire escape. But the old fire escape, remember, with the American and the Europe, the American one was that they built it on the outside of the building. Even though they had the stairwell in the inside of the building.
That's actually the best example. That's a brilliant idea.
You build it on the outside of the building.
On the outside. I mean, the building is on fire. Why the heck would I want to run in? Because one of the biggest threat to a building on fire is not the fire itself.
Yeah.
Is the first of all, you have lack of visibility because you have smoke everywhere.
Yeah.
And when fire burns, what does it do? It sucks out all the oxygen which you need to breathe. So you are most likely to suffocate. You are most likely to die from suffocation than you are from the flame itself.
Yeah. Now, how many buildings have you gone into here in Namibia, in Windhoek specifically, Hamoud, when you go look at, layout and design in the case of emergency?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that in many companies, they put a security function at that door?
Yeah.
You need a fingerprint to open the door for someone that works in the building. Now, if you're a visitor, my guy, you're cooked alive. And the worst thing is, this is supposed to be the fire escape which is in the building.
One thing, maybe I watch a lot of tech videos. I don't think I'm having an electronic lock on my house unless it's been.
Oh, haven't you seen the
unless it's been gone through by a lot of security
people. Haven't you seen the Swedish or is it the Finnish ad? The guy that brags with all these tech, he's got the Internet of Things in his house. Uh-huh. The woman next door with her two kids, all she uses is just a key to lock her door, and then she goes on her way. And then the day that it rained, the guy went to a because some of the things are voice activated. He went to a dentist's appointment. Half his face was literally paralyzed because of the anesthesia and the painkiller. He comes back. It's busy raining. He comes back home. So he tries to tell the house because it's now voice activation as well, which is the next level of unlocking his door.
Yeah.
He tells the house, please unlock the door. The house keeps telling him, can't recognize your voice.
Because he's not pronouncing the words right.
So finally when he gets into his house, now he's trying to ask the house, please switch on the fireplace.
Yeah.
He's also got that like voice automated electronic fireplace, which technically runs on gas.
Jeez.
So it's, you know, it ignites the gas and he's asking, please light a fire. The house is busy switching on his stereo and putting it on full blast because the house thinks, okay,
it's
music time. Homeboy is busy freezing himself, you know, half to death in his own living room.
Thanks to technology.
Exactly. And the moment you change something that needs to work on your voice, you're cooked. But his neighbor, the woman, because it's like three or two ads that I watched while laughing because it's literally the opposite of what this.
He's running on everything, you know, hardware.
As you know it. Just basic.
Just everything mechanical.
Just basic manual human input, which has been the best.
All throughout history.
Exactly. And has stood at the test of time. So yeah.
There are two things I'm not electronizing.
What?
The fridge.
It's already electronic.
Not to the level of AI. Of
no,
voice, you know, voice command.
No, never.
And he connected to the internet. No.
That's still the dumbest idea. Why would I want my fridge
connected to the
showing me food ads while I'm coming to the fridge and I know what's in my fridge?
You know what? There's a camera in my toilet and don't worry, the camera is secure. Really? For how long?
I met those toilets in China. It was weird. The toilet seat is warm. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? I was like, no.
Don't do this.
I don't know this. Why are you? Because literally, if you don't interact with the thing, it's like normal room temperature. Before you sit. The moment you sit, the thing heats up. You're like, nam, and it makes this brrr sound.
Yeah.
It goes like brrr as it starts up. And I was like, what is going on here?
One thing that's been proven scientifically is that men and women have different core body temperature.
True, but if you've never known an electric toilet, Hamoud, whether you're man or woman,
first of all,
you will be freaking out in your own, bathroom.
First of all,
yeah.
It's Friday. The last thing I want, it's Friday. My beer is in the fridge, and now some idiot hacked my fridge, and now I can open it. I have to call customer service.
Who's probably working in India, and it's midnight that side. So they're obviously sleeping by then, while you're busy dealing with the fallout of your fridge.
Yeah.
Or your toilet pot is hacked, your electronic toilet pot, and literally now your flat is flooded.
Your toilet pot is hacked. Your whole thing is not operating, but you have just had an unhealthy amount of capanna with a lot of spice. Oh, that's bad. It's not gonna end well. It starts sounding like a golf R in there.
And what are we doing? What are we doing?
End of the show, man. It's Friday.
I've got now this vrpa sound in my head.
Look, there are things that should be left manual.
Nah.
There, believe me, there are things that should be left manual. Just leave it mechanical. It's fine like that.
Helmut, I know it's a Friday. I know it's a Friday. I know it's a Friday. I know we can't wait for our Sunday shows, ne? Yeah, so you are right. Primarily, the scenario is there. But I'd have to put this also at the level of where are we as consumers in an African context? There's only one economy, a couple economies that can actually consume the next level of consumer technology.
What would that be?
For example, those toilets.
Or
those kinds of fridges. Even though you find those fridges here in Namibia somewhere, in some of the retailers.
Yeah.
But I mean, do you really want to be paying 50,000 for a fridge?
Nah.
A fridge that wants to talk back to you and show you, has a TV screen and a mirror in its doors. I mean,
it's nice technology if you have the money, but nah.
But now, even if you have the money, but now the fridge is literally as broad as the one side of your wall in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Now you're going to go like, this is too much space. Who's going to eat this food? Who's going to eat all this food that has to fit into this thing?
Oh, Ubuntu. We live in Africa. And one
you invite
thing,
the family or the in-laws?
That's actually the irony. One thing that I've noticed with a lot of, people with that level of consumer mentality of our, we all want to have a lot of money and a lot of cars and a lot of buildings, but we don't want to have a lot of people around. I just want to be, I just want to be alone, man, And then then why do you have all this? Well, just to show visitors that, there's the fridge, you can help yourself. It's for swag, for the most part.
Yeah, it is. At one stage, I also had this wacky idea of buying myself a property in Groothoop, building a nice, cozy little cottage in Groothoop. And then I was told like, whoa, Dwight, you want to go place yourself there, probably where you might be in a community, be exposed to criminal elements that while you're in Vintu busy working, your house gets carried out there, your nice little convenient cottage, modern day cottage that you built for yourself there in Groothoop might be carried away, primarily because you also have to look at the area that you'll be installing yourself into. Because if you now show up there, Helmut, stinking to Vintuk's wealth, ne, and the community you're moving into is like, we only know the living we've been having for the past 100 years. Sure. Try that. Yeah. Go and get yourself a cool drink in my fridge scenario and then see how often the cool drinks get carried away.
Next thing you know, the fridge is missing.
Or that there's an investment account in your living room that you never knew about that's busy carrying out your furniture as well.
Look, we have 3 minutes left to go, but when you look at the technology discussion, it's not very different from all other discussions we have had in terms of adopting it in Africa.
Yeah.
Technology is not very different. For the most part, we're just consumers. We don't make any of it.
No, we don't. And that's the shameful part of it. Like yesterday, we're still struggling to make our own clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Today, take that step up. Take that step higher. It'll be impossible for us to make our own technology.
Right now? Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah. When we also did the smartphone discussion last year, it was impossible to actually find a living phone of any of the attempts at making a smartphone.
That brings us to the very nice point you made yesterday. Africa is a very rich continent. We are willing to spend money on foreign products.
Yeah.
Which is not a problem. But at the same time, we are supposed to be working on investing into something that is local.
Exactly.
But, first of all, investors are having second thoughts, which is understandable because most of the consumers that they would be counting on to reap their rewards in terms of return on investment, they are obsessed with foreign products. So, like, even if I was an investor on the African continent with all the money, why would I invest in something that I know that even if I bring this to life, those guys will just still go out there and spend money on on foreign products, which brings us to one thing. What do all foreign products have in common in terms of their history? They spend millions, if not billions, on identity.
Yeah.
Marketing.
Yeah.
Eagle FM.
That one too.
Yeah.
All of it.
Commercial break.
Do you want safer roads for people who walk and cycle? Join the National Road Safety Council in commemorating UN Global Road Safety Week from 8 to 16 May. You can do your part by driving, cycling, and walking responsibly. To play an even bigger role, follow the NRSC on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok to learn more and help make Namibia's roads safer for all. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
You know, there's something about opening a Tafel Lager that brings people together.
Yeah, and once people come together, the voices follow.
Ideas get shared. Laughs get louder.
New perspectives come up where you least expect them.
Because when people use their voice, conversations start.
And those conversations, they can refresh a moment and even shape what happens next.
So, grab a Tafel Lager and start the conversation. Tafel Lager, now we're talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back. Every time that we talk about development, whether you're talking about that development in health, education, or just infrastructure, or any type of sector, it always comes down to one thing. Infrastructure, do we have it? Questionable. Now, and then it comes to energy, do we have it? Also questionable.
Yeah.
And, all the discussions that relates to development, whether it's Namibia or across the continent, it all comes down to, especially in terms of industrialization, it always comes down to infrastructure.
Yeah.
Do you have the infrastructure? The question is more often not. And, the technology discussion is not very different because you need a lot of infrastructure. That means you need a lot of hardware. And with that, you have to add on top of it, the digital infrastructure, which also we're talking about a lot of softwares we don't produce.
Mm.
So that means, we don't have enough money, but, we are talking about things that require a lot of buying, a lot of upgrading, a lot of servicing. Well, the service providers are there. We just have to make the money.
Exactly.
The question is how. That brings up the discussion of, ownership of a lot of different sectors. But for that, I'll just leave one recommendation. Look up something called the Dawn Raid. The Malaysians did that.
The what?
The Dawn Raid. Look, there was this private company based in the UK that was operating much of, much of the agricultural land in Malaysia.
Yeah.
So the Malaysian government tried to the best of their ability to follow the laws they had in place.
Yeah.
To get their land back. And now the company kept playing. The private company, which is it Guthrie, corporations. They kept playing hard to get.
Mm.
Yeah, like a smoking hot slay queen. But the Malaysians, studied the they studied the English stock exchange from inside out.
Yeah.
And then they found a loophole that they used to basically start trading as early as possible one day in the morning. That was in 1981.
Oh, the Dawn Raid.
Dawn Raid, yeah, not Dawn Raid, Dawn Raid. They nailed it so much.
I threw you with my cell phone.
They nailed it so much. One thing that the Dawn Raid taught me is Dawn Raid. If you are searching for something, just look for the Dawn Raid.
Yeah, morning dawn and
morning
raid.
Morning dawn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Morning the time, not the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the things. Okay, we have to go now.
On that note, guys, let's see each other again over the weekend and ultimately back on Monday.
Yeah.